Welcome to the WJBM Outdoor Show, presented by Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville. Today, we're coming to you from the WJBM studios in Jerseyville, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple: kill big deer. With us, we have Chris Walker, a man of many skills, particularly in the outdoors. Mr. Chris Walker, Team Radical, thank you very much for being here.
Hey, happy to be here, Aaron.
Yeah, man. So, funny, we met, man, a couple years ago.
Yeah, at an awesome wedding.
yeah, at a wedding, and here we are. Tell us a little bit about Team Radical.
Okay, so Team Radical, we're basically an outdoor media group. There's 16 guys on our team. All of us have full-time jobs. We do the whole media thing as a side gig. We basically film our hunts. We do outdoor media content for our partners and the companies that we work with. And basically, we're always outdoors trying to capture everything and anything that we find interesting out there. And some of the stuff has led to viral clips on social media and everything. So I think we've been doing this since 2007. I came on board in 2017. My cousin Jake Vansel, he roped me into it. He was doing this, and for a while I was kind of making fun of him, like, man, you're hauling around that big camera with that back then they were recording on tapes and everything. I'm like, man, that's a lot of work. But as things got easier and cameras got smaller, I was like, this just seems crazy. I'm not taking the camera out there and capture all these deer I'm seeing and passing, because you know, you tell someone you passed a really nice deer and you don't have anything to show for it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, it's just like, okay, that's another story.
If you didn't film it, it's not real.
Yeah. So once I got a camera in my hands, I started realizing all the cool stuff that you're missing out on not taking the camera out there. And one thing led to another, and here we are today.
Yeah. Well, the filming is hard work.
Yeah, self-filming and bow hunting is like, oh. I mean, I don't know if you want to make things harder for yourself, but I've learned it, if you want to, you can, go backpack in with self-filming equipment on private or public land down here where it's hill country, river bluff country.
Yeah.
And you can make it about as challenging as you want. And I don't know, I guess you got to embrace the suck sometimes. And
yeah, and be prepared, and it takes practice.
Oh, yeah.
I tried to self-film. This is the beginning and ending of my self-filming career. I hiked up over a ridge and then down into the bottom. And I tried to get set up. And by the time I got set up, I was like, huh, this hunt's over. I took everything down and I got out of there.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, that was difficult.
Yeah, the hardest part I've noticed is, like, as the season goes on and gets super cold, is taking down all your equipment, and like my hands just freeze because you got the metal camera arms and then the cages on the camera, everything's metal, and then you're climbing down the metal sticks and everything, and that's when it really sucks. But you know, when you get one good hunt and get it on video and everything, it makes up for it. But I think once you do it long enough, you just realize that it's not fun, but it just, you get used to it, and more and more you do it, the more comfortable you come with it. So it really grows on you. I can't imagine like what it would be like going out in the woods now with like no camera gear or nothing. Like, what would I take? Just my binoculars, maybe. Like, I don't know if I'd need a backpack. Like, you know, my backpack probably weighs like close to 40 pounds when I go out now.
And yeah,
it's crazy.
But I think there's guys like you that once you do it and you're successful, it's like you gotta keep going with it, like it becomes addicting or something.
Oh yeah, that one time you don't take your stuff out with you is the one time it will happen and come together. And I've had that happen before, and once you realize that and just realize to suck it up, and it just gets easier.
So with Team Radical, you're filming whitetail.
Yeah, mostly whitetails.
Okay.
So a lot of turkey hunts.
Oh, turkey?
Okay. A lot of coyotes. And then we usually have a handful of Western hunts as well. You know, we all put in for points out west, and usually there's two or three guys that go out there and have a successful hunt. So you can usually count on a elk hunt or mule deer hunt out west. And Kyle actually gave a seminar at the, the Midwest Sports. What's the name? It was in Shipshewanee, Indiana, not too long ago. And then Nate Stanford also had a seminar on coyote hunting there. But Kyle's was all on putting in for points out west and how to draw for tags, and then whether or not it's sometimes worth it to wait that long or to buy a landowner's permit to go elk hunting and stuff, because it's such a fine line between waiting, you know, sometimes 5-10 years to draw a tag versus just pointing up and paying for that landowner's tag and just being able to go. We're not, all of us aren't getting any younger, and your knees are good and
right,
nothing's holding you back, you gotta go.
Right. I think some of the best advice I've heard as it comes to hunting is, don't do it when you think you can do it. Do it while you still can.
Yeah, and that's the hardest part, because, I mean, it's not cheap. It takes up a lot of time. I mean, if you want to go on a really high-quality elk hunt, especially if you're talking bow hunting, like, say, Arizona or somewhere, like, you really need to clear a week, ideally 2 weeks off your schedule. And that's asking a lot of people to do, especially if you got a young family and everything else. But, I mean, it's kind of what it takes if you're after a trophy animal, especially with a bow.
Yeah, 100%. And it just the legwork that goes into it.
Yeah, it's a lot. I tell you what, though, walking these hills down around here, though, will get you in better shape for out yeah, west than where I was from in Springfield. It's a little more flat up there.
Right, right. So you said there's 14 members of Team
Radical?
There's
16 of
16
us right
members
now,
of
yeah.
Team Radical. Okay. Yep. And then, you know, you guys are spread out throughout kind of the Midwest region. How does that work?
Yeah, so... We have like a pretty much core group, and that's mostly central Illinois. And then we have a couple guys in Kansas. We have a guy in Michigan. We had some guys in Kentucky, but I think they've since moved on. But yeah, so a lot of us are friends or friends of friends came together, and we all had this one thing of just trying to get some awesome hunts on video. And that's what brought us all together. You know, some guys were like, hey, you know, you've got some awesome footage. You know, would you eventually want to share that and be on the team? Where we've had other guys reach out to us, and then they provide the content they've had. So it's kind of a mix of how we've all met. But a lot of the core guys are friends of friends, or like close-knit group of guys. And, you know, all of us have become pretty close. We usually do 1 to 2 events a year that we all try and get together. And it's just tight-knit group of friends.
That's awesome. There's been some pretty significant success with what you guys have put out there.
Yeah, so we just hit 100,000 subscribers on YouTube, which I swear that last 1,000 subscribers seemed like it took forever. But
did you get the YouTube plaque?
Yeah, we did.
That
yeah,
is
yeah.
phenomenal.
It's silver. It's the silver plaque. But yeah, so we finally got that, thank God. And I think we're up to close to 275,000 followers on Facebook as well.
Okay.
Done pretty good on Instagram too. I think we're over on 100. But social media is just, you just have to adapt and go with the flow on it. It's just forever changing. And you have these different apps. You have the TikTok controversial stuff going on and everything else. I mean,
TikTok, I don't know about TikTok.
I don't either. It's for this guy. Group younger than us mostly.
Okay, well, so YouTube is monetized. Instagram, not so much. Facebook, they might be doing some type of monetization, but it's not as common. But TikTok is monetized.
Yeah. Mate, some people make a lot of money off TikTok.
So, funny enough, me and a buddy, Levi York, it was the flood of 2019, so some of the Eldred levees broke, and we were out there trying to jug fish, and it wasn't working. And so we said, screw this, and we parked the boat, and we went over to where they had like dug the levee so the water could get out. And right there where the water was going out, there were a bunch of fish, obviously, where that current was. In one take, we somehow, he threw this fish spear like a trident off the levee and smoked it. It was a gar. picked it up, you know, and several years later, we're hanging out and, hey, you remember this? I don't know why I was going through my camera roll. Yep. Hey, do you remember this? Well, Lauren says, let me see that. She's like, hey, I met Sydney Wells at this place. I'm going to send it to her. So she sent her a message. Hey, you might want this for your Barstool Outdoors.
Oh, yeah.
I met you here. Whatever girl code they used. Next thing you know, that video is on Barstool Outdoors. Had like, last I saw it was up to like 750,000 views. Like
crazy.
70,000 likes. Well, as it was going crazy, we're like, hey, why don't we try and put this on TikTok and see.
Find some more cool stuff
right,
to go to.
Right away, TikTok says nope, and you got a flag against you for animal cruelty. And it's everything we did was fine.
Yeah.
But against TikTok's code. And then so. Yeah.
TikTok's really strict on what you can cannot show.
It's hard to understand because you just, how does somebody
where are
the
rules at?
Right.
Where do you find the rules?
And then what, like, who's successful in outdoors on TikTok?
Yeah, it's, I can't really.
I don't know.
I don't get on TikTok that much because we were on TikTok for a little bit and we were crushing it. I want to say we had 3,000 or 300,000 followers within a couple of weeks. And then all of a sudden we were banned, kicked off. And it was just related to hunting content, animal. They flagged us as animal cruelty. You get one strike and then next thing you know, you're kicked off.
Yeah. We got the flag and I was like, I don't know how to use TikTok. Obviously.
What does that mean?
And then, yeah,
I'm going to dispute this, but who's looking at this?
I didn't even dispute it. Like, whatever. If you see something from Monarch Rivers on TikTok, it might not even be real.
Yeah.
Because that was the end of it for me. But so you guys have a huge following. There's obviously, you've been monetized in terms of YouTube and maybe Facebook. Some other social and Facebook.
Yeah. And Instagram had a great bonus round for a while where you can monetize reels. So when Instagram was wanting to compete against TikTok, they were offering creators basically what they called a bonus. But if you put more reels out there and created reels and posted them, you would be able to monetize them based on the number of views they got and everything. And we did really well on that for a while. And then I want to say they set aside like $25 million or something. And once that pool was gone, it went away. And so it was kind of like, in my eyes, I think it was like a test to see how they did against TikTok. And so that went away. But, I mean, social media is forever adapting and changing. You just got to kind of stay on top of it. But, yeah, we did pretty well in there. And then Facebook's been challenging for us because we used to do really good monetizing our videos. And, you know, for a long time, we would post to YouTube and then we would share the YouTube link on Facebook. Well, Facebook didn't really like that because now I'm taking you away from Facebook's platform to YouTube's platform.
Okay.
So then we were like, okay, well, why don't we start uploading our videos directly to Facebook too? So we started doing that and we were successful and we're doing great. I mean, we had killer numbers on it and, you know, we were monetizing the videos. They were doing well. Then something changed, and I don't really know what it was. No one can really pinpoint it, but if you're in the hunting industry, you know that if you post something with too much blood on it or don't clean it up, or maybe it's a kill shot or something like that, sometimes your stuff gets flagged. And so we had, in my opinion, this is kind of what led to it. We had some guys doing some coyote hunting tournaments where they're going out calling in coyotes, shooting them with AR style rifles, and we started putting out those videos, and then like things were getting demonetized and you know the numbers were starting to go down, and I feel like we were kind of shadow banned in some essence on what we were putting out. So it's just and you can appeal these restrictions when you get demonetized, but it's so weird how someone can have like a full-time job and salary based off, or not salary, but income off social media platform like that, but then with the snap of fingers, it could be taken away just because you're demonetized and the policies change there.
They still get the content, but
yeah,
you don't get paid.
Yeah, sometimes you still get the views, but it's just it's flagged, and it's flagged as what it not being appropriate for advertisers,
which is wild because y'all got the hunt. You're killing really, really good deer, and then you know winning coyote contests. I'd imagine you're doing pretty good with the turkeys and all that. So kudos to you guys for what you've been able to accomplish thus far, even with the challenges present.
Yeah, so I mean the way we look at it, we're just like, well, we're just gonna keep doing what we do and put out content and having fun and making these videos. And you know, I guess the way that we really measure it is just the, you know, how people engage with it. If it has a really high number of engagement and people are commenting and liking the content, then the day that's really what drives us as content creators is just, you know, give people what they want.
Right, right. Well, we're going to take a second. We're going to hear from our sponsors and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the WJBM Outdoor Show, presented by Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville. Today, we're coming to you from the WJBM studios in Jerseyville, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple, kill big deer. Again, we have with us Chris Walker, a man of many talents, one of those being a member of Team Radical, where they are killing big deer, lots of coyotes, turkeys, and have over a 250,000 followers on various methods of social media.
Yeah.
And you guys are killing it.
Yeah, we've had a good year. Finally hit 100,000 subscribers on YouTube.
That's amazing. So I'd imagine the content that you guys are creating has a lot to do with what's going on during the calendar year in terms of hunting preparation. You know,
oh, yeah.
What are you guys doing right now in terms of preparing or creating content, getting ready for next deer season?
So everything is so seasonal in the outdoor industry when it comes to social media. Like as soon as deer hunting's over with, it's like, bam, turkey hunting.
Okay.
But then there's this window of shed hunting too.
Right.
So a bunch of us have been out shed hunting, starting to find some good antlers. I think I have 10 miles on my boots the past week, and I've only found 3. But
okay.
One set was an awesome set. I showed you some pictures earlier, yeah. And that deer is going to be absolute stud next year. But,
yeah,
you know, these antlers in these big timber bluff country down here are a lot harder to find than stuff I'm used to up north.
Right. We did a pretty good stretch covering some open ground maybe a few weeks ago, and it was a little bit underwhelming with regard to what we found. I expected to see more. There were some areas that were a little too muddy to get back into yet with the side-by-side even.
Just, it's been so muddy for past month.
Yeah, and then it froze, and it was so cold. And then, you know, back to mud again, here where we sit. But we didn't find as many as I would have hoped on the ag. Where we did find some was a CRP field that had strips mowed down it, just in terms of maintenance, you know, trying to get rid of the less desirable species growing, yep, in the field and promote the growth of the, you know, ideal CRP. But we found a couple out there, and then we did pretty good on we had a really hot turnip food source in the late season. We found 5, one being a match set of a decent 8-point. I don't think he was one of our target 8 points because I just can't make those antlers as wide as what I was seeing in the trail cam pick. So
really,
I think he's still out there. I call him Lauren's buck. I always tease her because he's right behind the house. And, you know, I always say that that's her deer to hunt if she wants to go.
Don't shoot that deer.
Well, I mean, you got to earn your brownie points any way you can. But, you know, the food source was hot. Now it's this round, and you know,
seems like the last couple of weeks a lot have dropped antlers. I don't think in the past week I've gotten a single trail picture of a deer with antlers.
Yeah,
I think that last cold snap made a lot of them drop. The set I found the other day, I think I had pictures of that deer a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and squirrels hadn't really touched it much at all. So I think he dropped pretty soon.
Okay. Yeah. What are some of your, like, when you go shed hunting, what are you ideally looking for?
Cloudy days.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm with cloudy you there. Days.
That and just, you know, down here, what I've realized is, like, I'm basically going out to scout out spots. I'm this time of year, I'm going out, I'm looking for where I need to hang my tree stands or move stands. So say, you know, I can think of a couple spots now that I had stands in and they just weren't quite right spot. Well, now I can go in the woods. I can see those trails way better than any time of year. I can pick out those trees. You know, now is going to be when you're going to be able to see the most and see all those sticks and everything, what you might have to cut down to get shooting lanes and like how bad you might stick out for those late season hunts. So that's really why I like to scout this time of year and hang tree stands. Also, you don't have to worry about the bugs. I hate those damn buffalo gnats, ticks and everything. So this is my favorite time to be out in the woods getting ready for the upcoming year. And so I go out there and basically with my Onyx, I'm just pinning scrapes, bedding areas. If you're able to go out in the snow and you see where all those deer are bedding, pinning all those and just having a really good idea of how the farm lays out and how the deer are using your farm. And then if you happen to find some sheds, that's great too. But really my main objective is just right now is just scouting because, I mean, some of these big timber blocks are so big. I mean, it's finding a needle in a haystack for some of these antlers.
Oh, yeah. You could, one technique or tactic is cover as much ground as possible and walk every single trail.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think, like, the three that I did find, like, I was probably within 10 yards when I saw them, like, and just I would have walked right on top of them. But it's definitely more challenging, hunt, you know, just looking in these big blocks of timber. But seeing all your trails and, I mean, just finding big scrapes that are still being hit right now just gets me excited.
Yeah.
And just seeing those big licking branches and stuff like that. Like, I know that some of the top deer are going to be hitting those and frequenting them. So I'm already planning spots, put up my cameras for next year and really just trying to take advantage as much as possible these couple of days I get to get out. And, you know, I feel like we just run out of time this time of year before everything starts greening up and, you know, it's turkey season and everything else. But I just love it this time of year.
I feel like this time of year I get a lot of answers. So,
yep, exactly. You know,
run an outfitter and guys – we'll see a deer here. We expected him to be here. He didn't show up to this stand, you know, and I, it helps understand and answer why, but you know, you get out there, there's no, you know, green leaves, the honeysuckle is bare. So you can really see. And so it helps you see that shelf, that funnel point or whatever land feature it might be that, and then it becomes kind of makes sense of, oh, that's why that deer was here. Cause he's going from A to B right here. And I expected him to be here with this setup. He wasn't. And now with everything down, you can kind of see, oh, well, he's using this shelf right here, or this particular pinch point is kind of what brings him to B where he's going. And that's why we may have missed him during the season. So,
yeah. Exactly to your point, you're able to answer a lot of those questions. Like I had some cameras where a lot of bucks would, you know, there's like three fields that are pretty much identical, but they'd always be in this one. Well, finally pushed into it and found like that's an awesome bedding knob on there, and that's what they're doing, and they're just kind of getting up and walking, getting a bite to eat, and then dipping back in the timber. I mean, but you know, a lot of those areas I don't want to go in when it's you know hunting time and everything else. Try and stay out of those areas. And a couple of the spots we got access to hunt, it wasn't until right before deer season, so I didn't have time to scout and do my homework as good as I would have liked to, and now's the time to do it.
Yeah, 100%. Well, we're about out of time for today. Would you mind telling our listeners how they can find Team Radical on social media?
Yeah, so you can look us up on YouTube under Team Radical. We have a lot of full-length episodes on our YouTube channel that you can check out, and then we're on Facebook if you look up Team Radical, and then we're on Instagram under Team_Radical, and that's the three we're primarily on. As I said earlier, we have just been getting kicked off TikTok, that we've kind of stayed off there for the time being, but maybe one day we'll be back there.
I share that sentiment. It's a tough platform. You know, it didn't work very well for us either. You guys have a Snapchat that you do?
Justin runs our Snapchat. I think team-radical, maybe team_radical, one of those two. No guarantees what he may or may not post. It's kind of wild, but yeah, he runs that. And Justin is one of the big coyote hunters on the team that gets a lot of the thermal night vision type hunts that we put out there. And he's him and Nate are definitely some top coyote hunters probably around.
Okay. Well, for all you out there, go out there, look on whatever social media platforms you use, and make sure to follow Team Radical, like their stuff, and support some of these local guys here in Central Illinois that are out there making a wake in the hunting industry. So
yeah, no, thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks so much for being here. Look forward to doing the next one.